Lord, you're so wonderful and worthy. The Sunday school hour was tremendous. And we've got to see you are the one that's worthy and able. There ain't nobody else, but boy, you are. And I sure do love you this morning. Thank you for being the greatest. You're not mighty, but almighty. You're not powerful, but all powerful. You live inside of me. Oh, what a miracle that the great God, you, the great God, lives inside of me. Thank you for saving me this morning. Now, Lord, I'm weak, I'm frail, I'm no good, I'm a wretch. Lord, I'm sinful in more ways than I even like to say. God, cleanse me, I pray. Touch me as only you can. Fill me as only you can. Help me to do as you want me to do this morning. Speak to every heart, I pray. In Jesus' name, and amen. Now, it's rare anymore that we use PowerPoint. We're gonna use PowerPoint this morning because there's some things I want you to see as well as I don't want you to miss it, all right? I want you to listen. We come to the church house, and I want you to understand the church is important. The church is more important than we understand. And we need, as I said, we need revival in the church. The church is more than a building. I hope everybody understands that if you're saved, you are the church. You are part of the church. You're part of the body, the bride of Christ. But there's something about a local church. There's something about a local group of believers that comes together and the importance of the church. Now, we all know that we're busier than we've ever been. We all know that. Even the folks that are retired don't understand how they ever done what they done because they done the same thing and still worked a job. And they don't comprehend how did we do it before. How did we work 60 hours or 80 hours a week and still mow the grass and raise the garden and do all this with the kids and have time to fish? These people now that retired, they don't even have time to fish and they're retired. Think about that. They don't have time to go nowhere. They don't have time to do anything, and they're retired. Add your job back into your life, and what would you do? That's the lifestyle we've chosen. Whether it be by pressure, whether it be trying to keep up, regardless, that's just where we're at. People has to drive further to work in a lot of cases to make more money, to buy more stuff, to owe more money, that we had to work more hours to make more money, to buy more stuff. And that's life. That's just the way it is. And we're not condemning that. That's just everybody is in that boat. And then you got to deal with people, and people are stupid, and it's hard to deal with people. And then that wears you out physically and mentally, and it discourages you, does it not? Stupid people discourages me. I don't know about y'all. But stupid people just wear me out sometimes, and I think I know all of them. So, and I'm not being mean, I'm just telling you the way I feel this morning. I'm telling you, and you say, what's it got to do with the church? Because I need the church. Somewhere there has to be a relief. Somewhere there has to be a place of refuge. I read through the Old Testament and they had cities of refuge that people would go to when they were in trouble. And they could go to and there was peace there. They couldn't be troubled if they was in that city of refuge. Can I tell you that the church house is a place of refuge. And we need the church this morning. We need this body of believers. Now when we look around, we all got faults. We all got failures. We all got mistakes. And we might be some of them stupid people. I don't know. But nevertheless, I want you to understand, we're still the church. And whether you know it or not, I need you this morning. I want you to know that I need you in my life. I need you helping me along. I need you. And I hope that you need me. I hope that I'm a part of it somewhere that you need me as well. If nothing else, just to holler at you or something. I don't care. But the church is important. The pews are important. The piano, the pulpit, the kids downstairs. You know, downstairs, Tristan's downstairs playing. They was practicing Wednesday night. Boy and girl were practicing Wednesday night to sing downstairs this morning. You know, they're not down there just calling pictures of Noah's Ark. They're down there having church. You know that? They're singing, and they're the young men, some of my mighty men, I'm so tickled with them. They're leading the services downstairs, and then they're preaching to them and teaching them, in fact, we had, there was two saved, the week before last downstairs. Ain't that wonderful? Man, we need the church. There's a lot goes on here. This ain't, I mean, there's a pile of them. There's 80 or 90 downstairs this morning. All right. Ain't that a blessing? And it's the church. It's important that we have the church. But let's look at a few things this morning and see. 1 Timothy 3:15 will tell us, Paul is writing to Timothy. He just gave a lot of qualifications and things. That's necessary for the leaders of the church. And then he tells us this, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is important enough this morning as we come together that we are the pillar and ground of the truth. And there's supposed to be truth here, and there is truth here, and truth is necessary. We got to have truth, and it's absolute truth. It's not personal truth, but it's Bible truth from the authority of the Word of God, and that's what's necessary, and I need it in my life. And can I say I'm a part of it? I hope you need it, and you really do, whether you admit it or not, and you're part of the truth as well. Everybody understand that? But it says here that we ought to know how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. That's a good one for the kids, right? But no, that's for us. The grown-ups ought to know how to behave thyself in the house of God. But I want you to know, the house of God, which is the church. The house of God, which is the church. Now, this is the house of God. I've got God in me. For the Bible even says, we know if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God not made with hands. I'm going to heaven. But listen, I got the Lord in me. If you're saved, you've got the Lord in you. Christ is in you, hope of glory. Do you understand that this morning? And I take him everywhere I go. But there's still a time we assemble together, and the church is important. The church is important. Acts 20:28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The church is so important that God purchased it with his blood. It came into existence by the Lord and by his precious blood. It's not the brick and the block and the carpet and the pews that makes the church, but it's us that make up the church who've been bought with a price and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. But when we come together, oh, the importance of the church and the work of the church when we come together. And this is what we need this morning. And we need one another. And we need the church. And we need revival. And we need a fire in our heart that burns because of the Christ that lives in us this morning. That's what we need. Now let's look at a couple of things. You know, it's more than a building. It's a place where God's people come together to worship, to grow in God's Word, to build one another up. I come to church for me, but I come to church for you. Did you understand that? I come for me, yeah, but I come for you. And when you come, sure you come for you, but you come for me too. You come for one another. We're in this thing together. You understand that? If a church has got a good name and you're part of it, that means you got a good name. But if a church has got a bad name, well, you're part of that too. Because we're in it together. You understand? We're supposed to be. We sung the song. Teddy's led the choir, and so is Clark too, and people sung it as a special. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, and you wonder why we say brother and sister around here. That's because we're all part. Yeah. Everybody understand that? It's not just, lost people look at you funny if you say, where's brother, son's a brother? Are they your brother? Well, no, they go to church. And they don't understand because they ain't part of the family. But when they get saved, then they understand. Everybody still okay with me? Well, let's look on. We need the church. Well, why do we need the church? I need the church. But why? Why do we need the church? We need the church for more reasons than you realize. And you come back tonight and we'll give you the last half of it. The first half just for this morning. We need the church to bring us to Christ. And you say, wait a minute now. The church don't have nothing to do with me being saved. Well, now let's think about it. The church is where the gospel comes from. Is that not true? The church spreads the gospel, promotes the gospel. Is that true? Yes or no? Talk to me. Think about it now. Let's look. Where did you get saved at? How many got saved at church? Hold your hand if you got saved at church. Well, what about at Bible school? All right, maybe, well, I wasn't saved. How about youth camp? Huh? How about a revival somewhere? Hey, wait, a tent meeting or something. See? You know who put that on? The church. Huh? You know who brought you the gospel? How many were saved at home? Huh? Well, how did you find out? Was it home? How did you know you needed to save? Who told you? Where were they from? Were they from the church? They come and knock on your door, come and visit you, and tell you, who was it? It wasn't the stranger down the road. It wasn't just the plumber. I bet that plumber went to church. You understand? Well, no, it was a fellow coming around. I bet he went to church somewhere. See, the church is instrumental about getting us the gospel. And we need the church. You understand that? Was on a job? Who told you? Were they churchgoers? I bet they was. Huh? From the church. They come to you and let you know, hey, I need the church to get the gospel out. We need the church. This community needs the church. Our state needs the church. But I needed the church. I was took the church. And because of the church, I was able to hear the preaching. And the Holy Ghost of God moved on my heart and drawn me to Him. And God gloriously saved me at the church on a Sunday night, May the 27th, 1973. I know. Thank you. You say, you may not, that's okay. I'm just telling you, I happen to know. Huh? He saved me. It's been a long time ago. And I've been trying to tell people from the church. I'm going on 40 years preaching the gospel. 39 is unpassed. 40 years coming, preaching the gospel, trying to tell people about Christ. But where's my office at? At the church. Where I preach at most? At the church. Hey, the church is responsible for getting us to go. Ain't you glad for the church this morning? Ain't you glad that the church come by to tell you about Jesus? Ain't you glad that the church come by to tell you that though you was a wretch, though you was a worm, though you was filthy, a no-count sinner, that there's a wonderful Savior that loves you like you are and would save you? Them people come from the church to tell you. I mean, I need the church. I need the church. I don't know about you, but I need the church to bring the gospel. Think about that. People that don't go to church normally don't carry the gospel. You understand that? Well, I'm glad for the church. How about you? I need the church. We need a church to help bring us to Christ. We need a church to pray for us. Oh man, you don't understand. When you tell me you're praying for me, I'm so glad. Oh, when I think about it, how many close calls Did you come through? Oh, but we, you want to write them down? Let's just see. I done come through a bunch, huh? But these people down at the church, I thought, you know, when I had the stroke, people come to the church to pray for me when I had the stroke. When Philip wrecked, when I had the heart of that, people was gathering up and calling and praying. Oh, thank you, church, for praying for me. Thank you that you love me enough to pray when the burdens are heavy and the nights are long and the days are short, but the nights seem so long and dreary and dark. But there's somebody down at the church praying for me. My name's been called out. Hey, can I tell you, your name's been called out. Your name's been called out in the prayer room. Your name's been called out all around this altar there in our God camp. There's many of your names in that camp. You don't even know it, but your name's in there. And whether anybody else does or not, but I pray for what's in that God camp because I know our God camp. And I put it in there to pray for you. Can I tell you, oh, we need the church this morning. Yeah. How many tests have come back okay, but they looked a little rough when you went to the doctor, huh? How many come back okay? You say, well, mine didn't. Yeah, but you're here. Huh? Are you listening to me? How many blessings has come your way? Hey, I just wonder, anybody been blessed any? If you've been blessed, I wonder if that had anything to do with the prayers of your brothers and sisters who know you're carrying a load that's gone down beside you, that's called your name out in the morning or in the wee hours when nobody knew was anything going on and whispered your name and God has sat down beside of you and provided the needs that you have. Boy, I thank God for the church this morning. Oh, I need the church. I need the church. I don't know about you, but I need the church this morning. I need the church to make sure that the gospel comes to my house. I need the church to make sure that everything will come out all right because the church was praying. Now, sometimes you pray and you don't realize anything's happening. I always think of Peter's in jail and the church gathered up to pray for him at Rhoda's house. I always think that's a funny account in the Bible. They in there praying. Here comes the angel, opens the doors. All the guards are standing there. He slips out. They ain't moved a muscle. They just still stand there. Door opens on its own accord. Peter goes through. Comes out. First thing Peter does, he went to church. Here comes that little girl. She said, yes, I'm Peter. I need in. No, he's in jail. He ran. She didn't let him in. She went back and told everybody Peter's outside. Can I tell you, sometimes you don't even realize that God's answering to you. Turn around and look. In them days you said I couldn't get through. Can I tell you, them days that you couldn't get through might very well be the days that the Lord let the church carry you. Are you listening to me? I thank the Lord for the church. The church is important to me. It's not just a building. You're important to me. Every one of you is important to me this morning. I go down my list and I pray for you and I think about, oh, but then I know you'll whisper, praying for you, preacher. You'll shake my hand in the church. I'm praying for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you that you're praying for me. Oh, I wouldn't trade the church for nothing. The church is important. We need the church to pray for us. We need the church to help us to grow in the word. You know, the church is set up to preach to you. That's what the church is set up for. To preach to you, to teach you, to bring you up in the unity of Christ, it says. That's what the church is for. Now, I'm not belligerent here. Don't be a smart lady, but listen to me. How much do you read or study yourself? On the average, there's a lot of don't never read or study, period. So you need the preaching and the teaching. Right? Then there's some things you don't understand. But God has called us as preachers and teachers to help you understand the Word of God. Not that we think we know it all, but to aid you. And it comes from the church. That you might have a better judgment seat. Did you realize that I preach to the church that you might have a better judgment seat? Did you realize that? As I preach the Word of God to you as a Christian, in your conduct and activity, that if you'll listen to the Word of God, that when you stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, things will be better? Amen. Are you hearing me? Huh? I mean, that's what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. And we'll look at this scripture again in a moment. It said, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Can I tell you that the church is here and the preaching's here to keep you from being confused like a termite in a yo-yo? Yeah. Alright? To keep you straight. That's what the church is for. To help you. Okay? And carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We're talking about the church. We're talking about the church. Are you hearing me this morning? Now let's look on. We need the church for fellowship and encouragement. God made the church to help one another. To stand up for one another. To encourage one another. Now, a lot of time we do a pitiful job. But remember, we're sinners too. Remember that we make mistakes too. Remember that we say things we probably shouldn't say. We try to help, but we really hurt. Everybody with me? Did you ever, don't raise your hand, but have you ever taken your foot and inserted it sideways in your mouth? You know, it don't seem possible that I can take a 9.5 shoe and fit it sideways and never touch my lips and my jaws. Huh? I don't know about y'all. And once you say it, you can't unsay it. I don't care whether, oops, I shouldn't have said, don't matter. It's said, it's done. BB has a saying, he said, when you ring that bell, you can't unring it. That's what BB says all the time. Can I tell you that's true? You can't unring a bell. Huh? Are you hearing me? That sound just goes on and on and on. But we didn't mean that. We didn't mean it to hurt you. We didn't set out with a plan to hurt you. We, in our mind, and that's when we're stupid people. Amen. And in our mind, we're thinking this will help. But sometimes it's better to be quiet. I think maybe the Bible says study to be quiet. I think it's a scripture in there somewhere. We would be better off if we'd done that. But nevertheless, we're here for one another. To stand up for one another. To encourage one another. Can I tell you, if anybody ever comes to you to talk about someone else in the church, you know, you ought to shut them up immediately. You ought to stand up for them. And just tell them, shut up. That's the easiest way to do it. Yeah, I'm going to say something. Now listen, I'm going to tell you, just shut up. It'd help us if we'd done that. Right? Yeah. Now, it's different to offer a prayer request. Pray for so-and-so. Okay. Do you know why? Just shut up. We need the church for fellowship and encouragement. Man, there's days, and maybe this ain't like that for y'all. I don't know. I don't live your life. I don't know what you think or do. Well, I know what you do, probably, but a lot of it. But sometimes I come to church and I wonder, am I going to go back? But there was an encouragement somewhere along the way. Feel so low that you just can't hardly go. But there was an encouragement in a song, or an encouragement in a prayer, or encouragement in a message or a scripture. And I said, I can go another day. I can go another day. I need you, the church, this morning to encourage, to stand with me, to help me along, huh? To fellowship. You know, the Bible says, let us consider one another. That would be a blessing, wouldn't it? Let us just consider one another. To provoke. Now, we're good about that provoking, but we need to provoke it to love and good works. Huh? There's a thing we need to pay attention to. And how do we do that? By not forsaking this assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. See, the church is important. We need to come to fellowship, to encourage and to provoke one another. Listen, there may be days I don't want to come, but I come for you because you need something, because you need me to be here. Well, let me just ask you, if I didn't come back for a while, would that affect you any? Huh? It'd be different anyway, wouldn't it? Why? Because I'm here to help you. We okay? Is everybody with me? Well, let's look on. We need the church to help our testimony to the world. You know, when we're known as Christian because we attend church, now whether it's true or not, that's how we're known. If we go to church, and then that messes with a lot of people, because people think just because they go to church that they're saved, but that's not true either. Can I tell you that if you go to church and you're part of the church, it's easier to testify in the world about Christ because you're part of the church. Everybody understand that? Huh? People understand we're different. That there's been a change in our life. No, I can't because I got church. No, I can't because I go to church. No, I can't. I'm a Christian. And they relate the two together. Why? Because of the influence of the church. Are we still okay this morning? Everybody follow me? See, the importance of the church is more than we understand. We need the church. I need the church. I need the church. Now, we're going to look at six things here right quickly. Now, all of them, we won't see all six this morning. You come back tonight. And you'll find that there might be three here this morning. And you come back tonight and there'll be part two of the message. But I want you to listen to me. Please, please listen. Some of this is going to be back over what we just said. But I want to put it in an outline form that you can remember. The fellowship. Why is the church important? Because of the fellowship that it provides. It provides me fellowship. It provides me. Yeah, but I don't like people. You ever say that? I don't like people. Did you know that Cheryl's Uncle Richard, I loved him to death, and he was a unique gentleman. But he, I'll never forget, I never was big on bumper stickers, but he had a big one on his car. It said, the more I'm around people, the more I like my dog. Remember that, Cheryl? And if he was standing there, he might even point to it. I mean, that was Uncle Richard, you know. And you know, sometimes it's like that, but you know, Christians shouldn't be like that. Because Christ in us. What if Christ had not wanted people? What if Christ had not wanted fellowship? How about, what if Christ hadn't wanted you? You know why he saved you? That he might fellowship with you for all eternity. But he said, nah, I don't like people. No, he died for us. And he lives in us. Think about that. And he, do you know that he took all of us like we are? Look at us. Everybody just look around. Look at us. He took us like we are. Wow. Talking about grace and mercy. Huh? That's not true. He took us like we are, knowing us. Huh? Now, I know some might think that you're something, but you ain't. You know? Think about that. And he took us. And that's how we got to have fellowship with the Lord. We just take one another like we are. Yeah. Think about that. We still okay? Don't want to lose you now. Hang with me now. By the fellowship of our eyes. Acts 2, 42-47. Look here real quick here. It says, and they continued steadfastly. This is the early church here. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Ain't that a blessing? Well, let's look. What do they do? Well, if we go back and look at them scriptures, well, they learn doctrine. The fellowship of God's house is important that you might learn doctrine or the teaching or the truths of God's word. It's important that you come to church because of that. All right. Then it said they would break any bread. How's that? They remember the cross. It's good. They had communion. They went to the house to house. They remembered what Christ has done. Can I tell you, they ain't nothing any better than coming to the house of God and remembering what Christ done on the cross together, that it gets exciting. That is one story that should never get old, that Christ died in my place, was buried and rose again, carried my sins. He who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might be made the righteous of God in him. Then we fellowship, we come together. That's what they done. See, they prayed together. Huh? They worked together. It said they had all things common. Huh? It said they shared all they had. Do you know we ought to, nobody in the church ought to be doing without anything. We ought to be sharing what we have, that everybody is taken care of. And we do the best we can. Sometimes we can't, but we do the best we can with everybody here in the church. We help out. We've tried to help out. Used to be, you know, how many here's ever got a pounding? Now, I'm not talking about getting whooped in a fight. How many here's ever got a pounding? Hold your hand up high if you ever got a pounding. Now, some of y'all, does anybody don't know what a pounding is? All right, let me tell you what a pounding is. All right, a pounding, what we always called a pounding, was when somebody in the church was in need. They didn't have enough groceries or things. So they said, we're going to have a pounding. We're going to have a pounding for Teddy and Janie tonight. Well, what did everybody do? Well, they'd be people, they'd bring canned beans and canned tomatoes, and they'd bring toilet paper and paper towels, and they'd bring bags of sugar and bags of flour and dried beans, and they just bring everybody just bring a few cans of this, do that, and they'd box it all up, and then when that church was over, they'd get out and they'd fill their car up, and they had groceries to do them for a month, and they didn't have to worry about it because maybe Teddy had been out of work and Janie been in the hospital, so the church give them a pound. Man, ain't nothing no better than being a part of giving a pounding, and ain't no better than receiving a pounding. Huh? Been a while. It ain't been that long, but been a while. Who was the last pounding we got? We parked the car out here on the handicap right here where Lindsay and him used to park Philip, and we filled the car up. I forgot, it's been a while, but it ain't been that long since we had a pounding for somebody. You know who done that? Church. The church. That ain't nothing no better than when we can do that for you. And that's what they done. They shared all they had. They took care of those in need. And then it said, and they praised God from house to house. And then they gained favor. Right. Huh? When the church is on fire and doing what it's supposed to, there will be enemies, sure. But there'll be people know, hey, if you need saved, go down to church. If you need help, go down to church. If somebody pray for you, go down to church. Y'all remember when everybody was, they was shooting all these people in church, you know, and that one Sunday, remember, they didn't have his door locked. I'm sitting up here. Here comes that fella through the side. Some of you guys got all tore up. He just come right through the side door right up here to where I was. Huh? He's down there beside me. You know what he needed? I didn't know him. He said, my wife's up there in the hospital and she's bad. She's serious. And I found a church and I wonder, will you pray for my wife? And he just come in there. And after we prayed, he left, went back up to the hospital. He just had what he had to find. He had to find the church. Amen. Why? Because sometimes the church has favor. We okay? What I want you to understand, our church is important. Our church is important. The discipleship it provides. Huh? Ephesians 4:11-12 again. We're going to read all down through 17. But it says, and he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. The completion of the saints. The discipleship. We have a new convert class. Trying to help the new converts get some foundation with them. And then the rest of it for us on Wednesday night, Sunday school preaching is for discipleship, that we know how to follow the Lord. Huh? There's ways we're to follow. There's some do's, there's some don'ts about following the Lord. It's in the epistles. You understand that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tells me who Christ is, and He's a Savior, and gives me ample information to get saved. Acts shows the body, the church coming together, and then all the epistles then show how I'm to conduct myself as a Christian. And I need somebody to guide me. That's discipleship. Huh? We okay? And it edifies the body of Christ. It lifts up. It encourages. It helps. It's for the work of the ministry. How you ought to minister. Where you ought to go. How you ought to do it. There's ways you conduct yourself. Ministry of the Lord ain't haphazard. God done everything decently and in order. There's ways. There's things taught. Qualifications. This and that. There's things. How do you get that? From the Word of God. Do you know where to look? Do you know where to go? If somebody comes up to you and asks you, tell me, show me in the Bible the qualifications maybe of a pastor. Can everybody go right to it? Some can, but some don't have a clue where to look. That's why we have Bible study and teaching and preaching to help discipleship. We're still okay. To the perfecting of the saints, rooted and grounded. To the work of the ministry as for service, to the edifying of the body, how to help one another. Sometimes we need taught how to help somebody. Huh? Sometimes helping somebody ain't helping them. Let me say that again. Sometimes helping somebody ain't helping them. Leave them alone. Sometimes you need some guidance. Sometimes we might get in the way of chastisement. And we need to have the wisdom to back off. And let the Lord fix some things. Are you listening to me? Everybody understand that? That's why we have church. It's a place of the place of restoration it provides. The church is a place of restoration. I don't know about y'all, but I come to church sometimes, and if everybody could have seen my mind. They said, that guy ain't saved. That guy ain't saved. Ain't nothing come through. Ain't no way. But I come and I get restored. Boy, I'm glad I could come into the house of God. I get restored back where I need to be with my walk with the Lord. Can I tell you that the preacher needs restored just like anybody else? But I'm glad there's a place of restoration. Sometimes there's been some gone a long, long time. And they found their way right back. through the doors of the church. Some ain't gone for just a few minutes, but some been gone for years. Here they come wandering back in. Boy, I'm glad for a place of restoration where God takes us back and where God still loves us and His people still loves us. I want you to understand it's still good. Galatians 6, 1 through 3 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But can I tell you, where does that happen? At the church. At the church. At the church. The church is important. I hope it's important to you. The church is important this morning. The church is important. Are we still okay? Being apart from the church is dangerous. See, when you're apart from the church, you gotta be so careful. Listen to me. When you stay away from the church, it'll make you vulnerable. Huh? Which do you think? You've seen the illustrations and the things all over, little papers and poems and all this. You know, if a little lamb is by itself and the herd of sheep's over here, is that little lamb safe? The shepherd and all the flocks over here and that little lamb over here by itself, it's more vulnerable to the wolves. Get alone by yourself. You may feel like being alone, but it's really better if you're not. Because you get vulnerable. It'll cause you to become weak. Whether you realize it or not, there's food that you get from coming to church because the people are here that you don't understand you're getting until you miss it. If you don't believe that, get sick for 6 months and see what you miss. Ask Miss Hope. Ask Butch and Linda. Who've not been able to come. Sister Agnes is back there. So good to see Agnes here this morning. Agnes never missed. If the doors was open, Agnes was at church. And Agnes, there's been a lot of weeks you ain't been able to come. A lot of months that you ain't been able to come at a time. Huh? And makes you weak, don't it, honey? Makes you weak. Huh? Makes you forgotten. You feel like you're forgotten. You feel so alone. Sometimes you, apart from a church, it'll cause you to stumble. Sometimes if you'd been in church where you needed to be, you wouldn't have made the mistake you made. But because you wasn't in church, you made the mistake. And now you can't undo it because it broke your toe and you're not going to walk the same. Are you listening to me? The church is important. It'll cause you to become judgmental. Lay out a church and see how judgmental you get about everybody. It'll happen. It'll happen. You don't plan it. It just happens. Are you hearing me this morning? Huh? It'll harden you to the moving of the Holy Spirit. You get away from the church and the moving of the Holy Spirit, even though He's moving around you, you're hardened to it. It happens. It happens. Are you hearing me this morning? The importance of the church. I can't tell you how important the church is. Huh? But let's look on. I read this quote. This is not mine. I read it and I copied it. Lack of presence with the people of God and lack of communication with God may evidence a lack of love and spiritual deadness. Jesus summarizes the law of God with priorities of loving Him and loving others. Is that not true? Presence and care communicate love, but absence and apathy will communicate hate. I said, wow, man, I need the church. I don't know about y'all, but I need the church. The church is important. The church is important. There've been things that come through my life. I need to be here. That's why I'll be here if you got to carry me. Huh? I need the church. It ain't that I need to perform or I need to preach. No, no. I need to get in here. Huh? See, sometimes I come and ain't nobody here. And I come and sit down. Or I'll just come and kneel down. This is my place. I normally kneel and pray. Right here. Nobody else is here. You know when we had the COVID mess, Elise and some of them, they took the time to write y'all's names and put them on papers all over the pews. Where you sat, that's where your name was taped to the pew. I come over here and I looked at all your names. I said, man, I need the church. I need the church. I got to keep a picture of it on my phone. I need the church. You wasn't there in body, but your name was there. Just like, I could say, oh, where's David Pat? I mean, that's just because it's where you sit. We get in the habit. I'm glad you sit all in the same place. It's easier for me to tell when you're here and when you're not. When you're not. Rick told me last week, he said, preacher, he said, I count who's here and you count who ain't. I reckon that's true. Yes, because you're important. I just want you to understand it's important, the importance of the church. We still okay? Now, listen to me now. Of all the things we get from coming to church, how much have you missed out? Now, here's where we're going to examine ourselves, and I'll quit. I'm not trying to make nobody feel bad, but I want you to be real, and I want reality to be in your mind, and I want you to be clean and pure with God today. How much have you missed out on? Of all the things we've just mentioned, how much have you missed out on? Huh? How much have you missed out on? Well, let's examine ourselves and see. Everybody misses somewhere. Correct? Nobody has a perfect attendance. All right? Huh? But 100% of us suffer when we miss. Whether it's once or 1,000 times. We all suffer. We all suffer. In some way. May not be to the same degree. But we all lose something, and it's regardless of the reason. You know? Jeremy Deeds could testify to this. In fact, he did testify to this. I was preaching, and I mentioned about how there's counseling every Sunday morning and Wednesday, Sunday night. And if we come, if we listen to God, God will help us. And he didn't come, but he went back and watched the service. And he told me, he said, preacher, he said, what you said about the needs being met, he said, had I been there, that'd have helped the problem I was facing. And I missed. He said, I went back and watched it. But had I been there, that was exactly what I was facing. That's what you told me, was it not? See, the Lord knows. And we miss out. All right, now listen to me now. There's many reasons to miss, and I'm not condemning nobody. Everybody hear me? Look at me. I'm not condemning a soul. I'm just asking questions. All right? Here at Mountain State Baptist, we have the opportunity of being together 4 times a week. Sunday school, Sunday morning worship, Sunday evening worship, Wednesday evening, and that's a total of 208 times in a year. All right? That's a lot of church, ain't it? Is it a lot of church? Well, I don't think so. In the Old Bible, in the New Testament, they went to church every day. They went to church 365 days. Huh? We just go 208. 208 services. All right, and everybody ready? Yes. Everybody ready? Talk to me. Yes. All right, let's look. Many can't come on Wednesday because of work. We understand that. So that's 52 times you miss right off that you've done this. Mark 52 times off. That leaves you 156 opportunities to be taught the doctrine, to help pray for others, to worship, everything we've just told you. Everybody follow me? You've done missed 52 opportunities. And that can't be helped. You work a job, you got to provide for your family, Bible says so, and you miss. I'm just letting you know that when you miss 52 times, you miss something. Somewhere through that course, there's been some help there that you missed. Can you not agree to that? Many never come to Sunday school for some odd reason. That's 52 more times missed. That leaves 104 opportunities left. But it also means you've missed 104 services. Have you ever thought of it like that? You done missed 104 opportunities because you can't come on Wednesday because of work, and that's understandable. But for some odd reason, you won't come to Sunday school. And that is an odd reason that you won't. Amen, Mark. So now you got 104 left. You got 104 left. Are we still okay? Many never come on Sunday night. That's 52 more services missed out, which only leaves 52 opportunities left. That means you've missed 156 opportunities in a year's time to worship or to be taught, or you've missed out on 156 times to encourage somebody else, to help somebody along the way. Amen. Now you have 52 opportunities left. Well, we're going to have to minus 2 vacations a year. And we'll have to minus the family reunion we always have on Sunday, because we're too tight to miss a day's work to do. And then how many sick days are we going to have? Because we get sick. We can't help that. We get sick. Huh? So we're down to at least only 49 opportunities left out of 208 opportunities. Now let me ask you, how strong are you spiritually? How strong are you spiritually? How strong are you when it comes to fight the enemy? Because you've only made it through the year with 40 some, but have you made it the other 40 some? To handle the trials of life, and I've done missed 156 opportunities for strength. The trials of life, I might end up under my circumstance. I might just be under my circumstance instead of on top of them. I'm not condemning nobody. Reality, I want us to think. We don't look at this. We don't look at this. I just want you to understand, man, the church is important. The importance of the church. We're coming into revival. We've got youth camp and youth rallies and children downstairs. We didn't add to the things that we on purpose schedule to miss. The things that we allow to come into our life that's not necessary, that we miss, and them numbers of opportunity just keep diminishing. And then we wonder, how come I'm weak? How come I can't get through the day? How often do we spread the gospel when we miss all of that? Are we about the Lord's work spreading the gospel in them other few days? I'm just wanting us to see this. Man, I need the church. The church is important. The church is important. Where would I be without the church? Where would I be if I was not taken to church? Well, let me tell you where I believe I would be. See, before my daddy got saved, he was a drunk. And before my papa got saved, he was a drunk. And all papa's brothers were drunks. And before all of that, their name was not preachers. Their name was hellions. Of fighting and beer joints. And had I not been taken to church, then it wouldn't be Preacher Mark. Ain't what it would have been. I was told by a member of the family, I was done married. I was told by a member of the family, had come to me and said, "Mark, you've never drank, have you?" I said, "No." He said, "Don't, you'll like it. Whatever you do, don't, because you'll like it." Because it seemed like my family just liked it, I reckon. Are you listening to me? Where would I have been had it not been for the church? Had it not been for Gloria Jean and Mary B. As my Sunday school teachers, my first ones. Had it not been for Janelle Jordan, Gloria Jean Treadway and Mary B. Price and Janelle Jordan. And where would I be if it hadn't been for Keith DeLong, L.T. Jordan, Lum Tony? Where would it be if it hadn't been for Russell Bennett, Mount Lookout, teaching me as a young boy, old Nelson Dietz? They would teach us young boys that wouldn't listen to Nelson, wouldn't pay no mind to Nelson, disrespectful, but he taught us the Bible straight through. Where would I be? Steve, where would I be if it hadn't been for the church? Where would I be? Where would you be? Yeah. Without the church. See, it ain't a building. It is, but it ain't. It's you. It's him. It's his book. The church is important. The church is important. We okay? We need revival in our church. We need revival in our heart. We need a revival, I should say, with one another. We need revival in the faithfulness to God's house. But it's all going to amount to what we're willing to do. There's some things we can't do. There's some things we can't do. For so many of the working men right now that's working, Wednesday nights is out of your control. I know that. Not condemning you. You got to provide for your family. But can I tell you, it hurts. You're not as strong. And you can't just quit your job because you can't come to church on Wednesday. You can't do that. I know that. You know. I got enough sense to know that. But sometimes we can make a little better effort. We've set out towels in the past. For those who didn't have time to shower, getting out of the mines, they come and they sit in their bank clothes. That's okay. If you think you can, then go ahead. You know? But what am I mean, we understand. Is everybody listening to me this morning? There's some things can't be helped. But then there's some things that can. And our weaknesses and our need for revival shows us that God has provided. He's provided. Some of us gonna be on what we have to do. Cheryl, you go to piano. See, do you see the importance of the church? I wonder this morning. Have you slipped? Have you slipped a little bit? Why don't you just come on and get the slippy stuff washed off of you? Huh? Why don't you just come on and kneel down around this altar and said, Lord, I've just missed out. I got to have some help because I can't do it. See, we can't do it by ourselves. We've got to have the Lord. We can't do it by, I can't do it on my strength. I can't do it with my mind. I can't. Got to have the Lord. If you slipped a little bit, won't you find your place around here? We all pray together. Huh? We're all messed up anyway. I've said many times, we're all messed up. Some are medicated, some are not, some need to be. That pretty well sums us all up. I wonder this morning, do you see the importance of the church? I need you this morning. We need one another. We need the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Preacher, I ain't even saved. Well, this would be a good morning for you to be saved. Christ died for you and buried, rose again. He'll save you if you let Him. Some of you we've prayed for a long time. You're here this morning, you're lost. You ought to make it today. You ought to be saved today. You ought to be saved today. Time's short. Father, I've tried to give as you give me this morning. Help us, Lord. We just need help. All of us need help. Lord, ain't just some of us. Lord, all of us need help. And Father, I'm asking that Thy sweet Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts and You'll draw us. And Lord, I know that when we come to You, You'll clean it up. And Lord, that's what I need this morning. I need You to clean me in my failures and my faults and my sin and my rebellion. Lord, please cleanse me this morning. But help our people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.